This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Is that a classy one, MJ?
I don't know what happened there. I screwed up. I missed the mark.
See, all he has to do is go, the Paracast.
Stop. No, stop.
Sorry.
Okay. We're trying to do a real show here. Let's drop the Billy Meier thing. It used to be, though, we'd mention Billy Meier in the forums or on the show, and it would bring out the riffraff or something. It would bring out people who, you know, were fans of Billy Meier and followed him.
Well, they probably, it's called astroturfing, Gene. You know that term.
Yes, it's connection with the Tea Party. The Tea Party originally, although it became a real movement, was an astroturf effort Freedom Works or something like that, the Koch brothers.
Yeah,
and they put money into it to finance this organization that would adhere to their brand of conservative principles.
Astroturfing has been around for a long time. It just means you send this group of people out and they spam. You see it in Twitter. You see it in the same messages posted over and over. And sorry, I'll get off my soapbox, Gene. We should stay away from politics. You know how I get when we start talking about politics.
Right. We're not going to get into politics. What we are going to get into, however, is the political aspect of things like disclosure and this Tom DeLonge movement that we have out now. They made a big splash with that New York Times article about the secret Pentagon UFO study, which worked in isolation to every other previous UFO study. Like now the Pentagon's studying UFOs. What happened to Project Blue Book? I mean, I would think if I'm starting a study, whether it's $22 million or $22 billion or $22,000, wouldn't you at the first do research and say, let's see what we have on hand. Let's look at the records of Project Blue Book. Let's see other UFO cases that might be on file over the ensuing decades. And then let's now do some new research. But it looks like to me that it was all new, like nothing ever happened before.
Didn't all that money go to Bob Bigelow?
I guess a large portion of it did this. Just think about this now. I'm being sarcastic or facetious or I'm being serious. You make your own decision. Bob Bigelow is a billionaire, or just about a billionaire.
Mm-hmm.
He is a supporter, or was a supporter, of Senator Harry Reid, who was the Senate Majority Leader until the Republicans took over Congress. Senator Reid instigates this study to get the $22 million that goes to his pal, or his supporter, Bob Bigelow. Now, no one's talking about that money. I'll assume everything was done on the up and up, or it was just pork. I don't know.
That's nothing. That's nothing. The money that they paid, they spent more money talking about it than they did actually say. I mean, I'm joking, but I mean, that's how much money was it? It was just a drop in the bucket compared to what we spent in the past over on something like this.
Right. This would buy what? About 300 toilet seats?
Yeah, maybe two gold plated toilet seats for the Trump Tower, whatever. Anyways. So,
I'm not impressed. I don't know why people were impressed.
I think they were sold
a bill of goods. Now, I'll be fair. I do plan to try to have Leslie Kean on the show because she helped bring this to public attention and see what she thinks and why this is something especially new. To me, the fact that it is a study at all, I guess, is interesting. But the fact that it existed in isolation, in a bubble, to anything else, to me, makes me wonder what was going on here.
Sounds like somebody was trying to throw a bone to the counterculture. I don't know, you pick up on this, MJ. What do you think? I mean, I think it was just throwing a bone.
In regards to getting, funding for this project?
Yeah, yeah.
I think they got sort of the funding that they could probably get. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't, I can't speculate, and I'm not sure if speculation is sort of useful here, because whatever
it is what we do.
Yeah, but whatever we speculate is probably not the truth, right? Like, I mean,
probably not.
They probably, you know, if there's an agenda or there's steps ahead, they're way more ahead than we are. Sure. I think the one, like, I'll say a few things in regards to sort of the, what's it called, ATIP program out of the Pentagon. I think it's interesting that you now have an era where, in previous reports, like out of Blue Book in the 60s, you kind of went on pilot testimony and you went on, you know, sort of pretty early radar, you know,
visual sightings. I mean, the most important sightings were the ones that were right. Visual and radar right. Corroborated the visual.
Whereas in now, technologically, you know, we have high definition cameras that are strapped to guns on these fighters or whatever. So, you know, whatever the plane sees or whatever the plane's pointed at, even if it's not pointed at, the camera will pick something up. So ultimately you not only have sort of radar, you also have sort of current generation radar, which is probably a lot more, precise and specific than, you know, 1960s radar. And you also have the ability to record sort of mid-flight, sort of footage. And not only that, from sort of quite a distance. I mean, you know, some of this gun footage camera that we have is sort of an object that's nearly a kilometer away at times. So I think that the interesting thing here is the quality of evidence has increased. You still have your pilot testimony, which has never changed. You're still going to have your radar tracks. They're probably a lot more specific now. There's better equipment. But now you have sort of the ability to sort of capture video as well of these strange anomalous objects. Now, I'm not saying the videos are amazing. I mean, there's no smoking gun. That's for sure. But I think it's interesting that at least, you know, within a year or so of To the Stars being around and this program being made public, you know, three videos declassified that show something interesting. We can debate what is actually in those videos. There's been back and forth as to what sort of those objects actually are, whether they're prosaic or not, or mundane or not. But I find it compelling only in that we're still studying UFOs, but we have sort of modern technology to do it.
Well, and I think some people overstate the efficacy of a cell phone camera. I mean, anybody who knows, I mean, you can take the most prosaic object and that we look at, which is the moon, and in full phase and, you know, big sitting there, and you can take your phone and you can take a picture of it with, and I've got a Samsung S7, or you can use an iPhone X, which, all right. So
clean up the language.
Yeah. So you could have a, like I said, you could have an Android camera, an S7, you could shine it, or an iPhone X, and what you see is a point of light. You don't see a moon.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me just put this in perspective before we get into platform wars. Samsung makes good cameras. Apple makes good cameras. When you look at the comparisons of the current models, like the Galaxy S9 versus the iPhone X, not iPhone X, which was, by the way, one of the top-selling single models of smartphone in the entire world. Okay. And in the December quarter, one-third of all the smartphone profits were earned by the iPhone X. And the price, which is supposedly high, is actually less than the most expensive Google Pixel smartphone.
Okay.
Now, the point is these two phones, Samsung...
Michael.
And the iPhone make good pictures.
They
have good cameras. The thing is, you still can't capture anything more than a pinpoint of light.
The point I'm trying to make, Gene, is that you can take a nice camera, you can take a picture of the moon, and all you're going to see is a point of light that doesn't even look like the moon.
We'll get into more of this in our next segment. We've got MJ Benias, Michael Allen, Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast. Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Non-attorney paid spokesperson. Could your house go into foreclosure? Are you behind on your mortgage payments? Does it seem like the bank has no interest in helping you save your home? And you feel like you have nowhere to turn for help? Then we have good news for you. Foreclosure Protection Services can help save your home as they specialize in foreclosure assistance. That's all they do. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, being threatened with foreclosure, have been denied a loan modification, or been the victim of a predatory loan, it's critical that you call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-667-9035. Their network of attorneys and their agents are available to speak to you now. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, Foreclosure Protection Services can help stop the foreclosure process. Call today before it's too late. New laws are in effect that may save your home. Call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-667-9035. 800-667-9035. That's 800-667-9035.
Fellow Patriots, my name is Todd Savage, founder of BlackRifleRealEstate.com. Like you, I was a prisoner of the alt-left sanctuary state until one day I chose to lead my family to freedom. Today we live on a sustainable 20-acre homestead where we shoot, hunt, garden, and homeschool our children without the tyranny of the nanny state looking over us. If you're ready to flee the city to the freedom of Idaho or Montana, our Black Rifle Real Estate team is here to help. Go to BlackRifleRealEstate.com. That's BlackRifleRealEstate.com.
This is a warning to all household pests, to all cockroaches, spiders, ants, mice, and rats. If you've made yourself at home in someone else's home, you'd better hope the owners never hear about Terminix. Because Terminix has the know-how and the means to do whatever it takes to remove you from that home. Terminix has 90 years of experience eliminating home invaders. And they make it easy for homeowners to be protected by offering a free pest estimate by calling 1-800-676-9879. Cockroaches, spiders, ants, mice, rats, and other pests. This is your last chance. With one call, Terminix will remove you from the home you've invaded. If you think you can simply come back later, think again. Terminix will never stop working to keep you out with a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Pests, wherever you are, I will find you. Pests, you've been warned. Homeowners are calling Terminix right now for a free pest estimate. 1-800-676-9879. 1-800-676-9879. 30-day money-back guarantee at participating locations. Limitations apply. See plan for details.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
He's trying to imitate Bela Lugosi, and you can't. Nobody can imitate Bela Lugosi because he created a singular image of a singular character. Anyway, we're talking about cameras. The fact is, we think here, and this is where the best logic is, we have the argument here, well, we've got hundreds and hundreds of millions of people with high-quality smartphone cameras, which is the real point of it. We've got the iPhone. We've got the Samsungs. The recent Googles have had decent cameras, too, although only three people buy those phones. So we have all this stuff, And we're not seeing any great UFO photos. And the reason is because you'll just capture a pinpoint of light in the sky. The only way you'll see a UFO that looks like anything distinctive, if it's basically a close-up sighting. And there are very few of those. And as a matter of fact, there are very few good UFO pictures over all these years.
I'm just saying that something you see, that you see with your own eyes, that's going to be clear in your vision, that you think is resolved, you can take a picture of it, and it's going to be nothing. I had an example when I had, you know, I had a 75-inch TV moved into my media room, and I took a picture of it, and I took several pictures of it. And even right there, standing up against the wall, I couldn't get the scale of how big the TV was. And it just, there was something about the field of view of the camera that changed the reality of what I was looking at in such a way that it made it look smaller than what it really was. And I think a lot of people overestimate the ability of a camera to pick up something that they think is something that is real and that is worth taking a picture of. But then when they take the picture and you consider the lighting and you consider the, you know, the timing. You know, if they're taking it at night, for instance, you know, you're going to get something that doesn't look anything near of what they're actually seeing with their own eyes. That's the kind of the point that I'm making about it. I think a lot of people say, well, why don't we get any more pictures that are night, you know, that why don't we have pictures of these things? And I said, well, have you ever tried to take a picture of something that you thought was really awesome, but then you looked at it and you go, that didn't really come out right. I needed to take that picture again. That happens more often than not. And if you're involved in a situation where something just jumps at you and you got to pull your phone out of your pocket, and you got to unlock the phone, and then you got to push the little button that launches the camera app, and then you got to switch the view from selfie because you probably last time took a selfie to taking a picture off in the distance from the other side. I mean, by that time, you're probably looking at something that's not even worth taking a picture of. I mean, does that make any sense? I had it happen to me 3 times. I wanted to take a picture of something. Nobody's going to believe this, and I take a picture of it. It looks like crap. It's just there's nothing there. It's blurry.
People send me their UFO pictures. Like, I used to be a MUFON field investigator until I left. But
Wait, before we go on. Why did you leave?
I left over the situation regarding Mr. Ventry and Mr. Harzen's response. So that was what caused me to leave.
Okay, let's go to the things that were presented to you, the pictures.
Sure, yeah. So, I mean, you know, in my investigations, you know, you would often get people who say, I took photos of the object I saw or the lights I saw. And like you say, Michael, they show you this picture or they send you these picture files and, you know, it's this dot in a black background. And it doesn't matter how much you zoom in or you try to fix the image, you know, on your computer, it just becomes a blurry dot on a black background.
Right.
So I agree. I think that, like you say, the common skeptic sort of response of, well, you know, everyone's walking around with a camera in their pocket. Why aren't people taking pictures of UFOs? You know, I'm sure people do. And at the end of the day, the ones that I've seen, it's indistinguishable from anything else. It's just a point of light half the time. Or it's a current UFO case I'm dealing with consistently and is sort of going into my book. Is a particular witness. She had an object sort of hovering above her sort of in the distance and she managed to sort of snap a few photos. And to her, the object obviously was quite large. But in the photographs, it's this... it looks like a sort of a gray dot in a blue background. And it doesn't matter what I do to the image, it's just a gray dot. It just gets blurry. So
let me ask you here. Are people just, shall we say, optimistic that something like this is going to turn out to be something useful?
Sure. I have to be honest. I had this one case, a friend of mine, a colleague of mine, Chris Rutkowski, who's a UFO guy.
Oh, yeah, he's one of our friends here.
Yeah, contacted me over... We were sort of... Someone contacted him, rather, about a UFO case, and they wanted me to come out and check out the video that they shot of this sort of object in the sky. Anyway, we couldn't get out there, but they came to my place, and I have sort of a 60-inch TV, so I put on the computer, and I attached the computer to the TV so we could see, you know, on a 60-inch screen, sort of this video. It turned out to be a flare, but... The person was very hopeful because when they zoomed in on their camera on this sort of point of light, it sort of took on the spherical shape and there was this flickering and they're sitting there, look, it's a flying saucer. Like, it looks like a flying saucer. Oh my God. And they were literally in my basement vibrating with excitement that they had sort of, you know, a couple, you know, quote unquote, UFO researchers or ufologists or whatever you want to call us, sort of staring at this thing blinking. And they were, like I said, very sort of agitated and excited, until, you know, it was sort of pointed out to them, well, it's blinking and that little sort of thing in the middle of it that makes it kind of look like a saucer is just your camera's, like the lens of the camera. Like, it's just a reflection of it. Because when you zoom into a point, you're going to see the aperture. And so we were just telling him it's nothing. Like you're just seeing the cameras sort of playing a trick on you in a sense. It's not actually doing that. And the look on their face was awful. Like they were so dejected that they thought they had something and they didn't. And at the end of the day, we found out that it was actually the local Coast Guard was running exercises and they were actually shooting flares up in the sky and it was a flare. And we had sort of confirmation from the Coast Guard. So we, you know, again, it sort of broke their heart because they were showing all this video to all their friends and, you know, it's my UFO video and it turned out to be nothing. And it looked like a UFO, but it certainly was not. So for sure, people definitely spend a lot of emotional capital, I think, on their sightings and their photos and videos.
Well, this is what you see on YouTube all the time. You just see points of light in the sky. And I hope people use a little bit of common sense. If you see a light in the sky that can be anything on camera, don't bother sending it in. Mm-hmm. Save your effort, save your work. This is not going to solve anything. That's why there's so few UFO photos, because it's very difficult for the camera to capture it. Where you do have distinctively clear UFO photos, there's unfortunately a fair possibility that the photos are fake. Especially nowadays. Yeah. You don't have to dangle, you know, little toys before the camera.
Well,
it doesn't have to be like the Lost Creek photo that Jim Moseley and Gray Barker created like 50 years ago. We are not going to last another 50 years if we don't break for a little piece of business. Long John used to say that. He called commercials a piece of business. Gene Steinberg, MJ Benias, Michael Allen, you're in.
The Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Healthcare reform is confusing, but whether it's finding an affordable insurance plan, keeping your doctor, or being able to afford needed prescriptions, navigating the healthcare system has become a challenge. Control your own healthcare costs and choices with Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare is not insurance. It is an association of self-pay patients who unite with like-minded people to share the cost of each other's medical needs. Neighbor helping neighbor. Learn more now by going to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey Purified Water. The Berkey guy provides the lowest priced filtration systems in every size. For incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency, get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
It's been said, any society is only 3 missed meals away from chaos. Those times may be near. Think about it. Our country faces multiple terrorist threats and aggressions from Russia and North Korea. Social unrest and violent marches yet again may lead to looting of stores and city shutdowns. And our crumbling infrastructure leaves our power grid vulnerable to long-term outages from a single cyber attack. When the chaos from any one of these threats arises, the government knows it can't provide during a widespread national emergency. That's why you need your own plan for self-reliance. That's where My Patriot Supply comes in. Get a 4-week survival food supply for only $99. That includes breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Order online at preparewithgcn.com. $99 for 4 weeks of survival food that tastes like homemade cooking and lasts up to 25 years from My Patriot Supply. Get your kits today at preparewithgcn.com. Free shipping is included. Preparewithgcn.com.
Do you have difficulty taking supplements? Are you searching for a high-quality, complete nutritional drink that your whole family will love? NutriMedical's Life Support has arrived. All of your daily nutritional requirements in one quick, delicious drink. Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support is a proprietary blend of vegan protein, activated vitamins, essential minerals, amino acids, probiotics, green tea, digestive enzymes, anti-inflammatories, cancer prevention, detoxification, and much more. Your body will high-five you for this one. Life Support is the best complete nutrition meal replacement on the market. Whether you are an elite athlete, have post-operative challenges, chronic illness, elderly, or a family that just wants a quick, delicious drink, try Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support for optimized nutrition in one great-tasting smoothie. Just add cold water, almond milk, fruit, or anything else you like. NutriMedical's Life Support. Try our great-tasting chocolate or vanilla today. Call 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutriMedical.com. NutriMedical.com for the whole family.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
This is Jerome Clark, author of the UFO Encyclopedia and other books. You're listening to the Paracast.
So we have two more segments to go with MJ Banias and Michael Allen. And Michael is just so confident now with his new microphone. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to review his performance, feel free.
I'm going to start a thread. It's going to be great, my performance. And count how many times I say the word, you know. And by the way, the last one didn't count. So, we got a question from our forums for MJ from TDSR. And he says, it seems to me that most people today are still focused on the, quote, objects that are associated with the UFO phenomenon. Think TTSA video, etc. Lights in the sky seem trivial when we consider that, in all caps, beings are reported to be interacting with humans, animals, Earth. What do you think is the reason for the encounter phenomena being too far out, but the objects are, quote, safer to talk about? The mainstream media recently has been willing to discuss UFOs, but it seems that most people are afraid to speculate on who is driving remotely or otherwise. The case of Evan Bryce in Tappan, ND comes to mind, among many others, where Evan shot a being and it reared in pain while other beings were present. According to Evan, seemed to bow and kneel before him after the shot. There is something profound in the notion that we are being perceived, quote unquote, by other intelligences. In your opinion, what are we missing as a species that is preventing individual disclosure? In other words, what impact does naivety have on understanding all this?
Wow, that's a good question.
Yeah.
Okay, so I would start here. I think the UFO as object, as he sort of mentioned, is safe. Yeah, we still leave wiggle room for us to distance ourselves from whatever is in charge of that object or controlling that object. Once you start getting into beings or sort of another intelligence that is like us, it raises a lot of philosophical problems, but furthermore, it raises, I think, a lot of sort of philosophical anxieties in us. We come face to face, I think, with the idea that we are not anymore at the top of the sort of the food chain, both sort of physiologically, perhaps technologically as well, and also just epistemologically. We realize that there is some other out there that isn't us, but is like us in some way, predominantly that it has agency. So it calls into question our sort of current state as being the only ones. Really, at the end of the day, humanity has, for the last sort of, you know, several tens of thousands of years, you know, our species has sort of been alone. There has been no one else since sort of Neanderthals died out. We have always viewed ourselves as winning the evolutionary battle. We are in charge. Another being or another intelligence that's physical like we are, or even sort of metaphysical in some way, but sort of present and can influence the physical world around us. This, I think, is generally frightening. We lose our status and we sort of get knocked down a peg. We realize that there is something perhaps greater than us. And I think for a long time, you know, humans have always contemplated there's something greater than us, and it's always sort of been like a godlike figure. But God typically doesn't show up and walk around, you know, your backyard and abduct you. So, you know, I think we have sort of maybe an ontological difference.
Yeah, I mean, unless, of course, there are three of them that come down and warn you to get the hell out of town before your entire town gets blown to smithereens.
Well, yeah,
Sodom and Gomorrah. I mean, you know, that's a classic example. You know, but yeah, continue. Sorry.
And I think we definitely sort of have these moments of sort of encounters. You know, especially in the Bible, of you know, I guess beings, typically sort of angels, that you know, often show themselves to humans, but the humans always react sort of typically in the same way, right? Usually they're afraid first, and the angel has to typically say, "Don't be afraid."
Right.
You know, I bring you good news, right? So to answer the question, I think first in regards to the media aspect of the question, the media is simply a reflection of society. So whatever anxieties we have as a society, the media is going to reflect them. So if we would much rather, I think, laugh off the idea of an intelligent being or the idea of another intelligence, because that's our only way to cope with the possibility that other intelligence exists. Because if we choose instead to accept the fact that this other intelligence exists wholeheartedly, our entire perception of reality shifts. For some, we become horribly terrified. And for others, we might sort of become more at peace with the universe, realizing that we're sort of a voice in a chorus and not a solo performer. But then you start to sort of look at the world around you differently. You start to stop. You no longer buy into the typical narrative that society and sort of popular culture feeds you. To answer the second part of this question, which I really actually don't remember now, can you read the last part of the last sort of two sentences?
So what he said is that he talked about Evan Bryce in Tappan ND.
Uh-huh.
He says, comes to mind amongst many others, where Evan shot a being and it reared in pain while other beings present, according to Evan, seemed to bow and kneel before him after the shot. And his question is, there is something, well, his statement, there is something profound in the notion that we are being perceived by other intelligences. And I will, by the way, second this. My mother and I both, sequentially, when I was introduced into the notion of the idea that we were being, that we could be possibly, that it was a real world scenario, that was valid, that this was something logically, it doesn't even matter. It could be, it doesn't even have to be proven. It's logically possible that there are other intelligence in the universe that perceive us and that are here. And that was a terrifying thing. He says, there is something profound in the notion that we are being perceived by other intelligences. And his question, what are we missing as a species that is preventing individual disclosure? What impact does naivety have right. on understanding all of this? So,
sure, yeah. And I think, you know, like he uses an interesting word, right? This term perceived, which is sort of a curious way to put it. But I like it. Because ultimately, I guess, you know, not only the realization that there is an intelligence out there or that it's visiting us, but perhaps more importantly is that that intelligence is obviously, like he says, perceiving us or assessing us or studying us or hunting us or whatever we sort of want to say. And again, this comes down to sort of power itself and the anxiety we feel by losing our power to something else, to this other, whatever it is. So I think being naive, right, this is interesting. It reminds me of like pigs in a slaughterhouse, right? You know, the pigs kind of walk around their slaughterhouse totally unaware that they're in a slaughterhouse. And then eventually they reach a certain weight and then the gate opens and like they start getting led to where they get, you know, killed.
Right.
You know, ultimately, if that's us, we're quite happy walking around the house. Or the slaughterhouse, because, you know, we don't know what we're actually in. Once we start perceiving or understanding, or once we realize that we're actually walking around a slaughterhouse and we're just waiting for that gate to open, we become horribly frightened. And I'm not sure if humanity can sort of live like this. I think that it's a frightening place to be.
You know what, folks? Before we get slaughtered for not wearing these ads. I'm sorry, that's a really bad segue. We got one more segment with MJ Banias and Michael Allen. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
As you know, neighbors, web hosting can be pretty cheap, but not all hosting is the same. DreamHost wins best of awards year after year. You get unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, and even the low-cost plans put your sites on high-performance SSDs. Want to know more about what DreamHost has to offer? Go to technightowl.com/host. Once again, that's technightowl.com/host.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and slingbows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug-out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Bacon lovers, we ship free. Try our amazing bacon. No refrigeration required. Proprietary value-added packaging provides 10-year shelf life and protects the leanest, thickest, center-cut, fully cooked bacon in America today. Ready to eat right from the pouch or warm and serve. Savory and delicious. Wholesale price for your everyday use. Order today at ReadyToEatBacon.com. ReadyToEatBacon.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-261-9818 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-261-9818. Again, 800-261-9818.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original and most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
Hi, this is Joshua P. Warren, author of The Poor Man's Paranormal, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Okay, Waiting for the Slaughterhouse.
Yes.
This kind of reminds me of the theory here from some people, like Dr. David Jacobs, that there are UFO or alien hybrids here. He calls them hybrids because they're human, alien, whatever. And therefore, they are here to quietly take us over, not a shot being fired.
Yeah, and that's sort of the traditional sort of materialistic interpretation, right? The extraterrestrial hypothesis, right? These are physical beings from some other planet. They're just more advanced than us, and they are using us for some dubious purpose. Or some nefarious purpose, rather. And again, that's one sort of hypothesis. I'm not saying that there are alien beings, and I'm not saying that we're being invaded, and I'm not saying that we're pigs in a slaughterhouse. All I'm simply saying, I think, is that once we come to terms with the potential realization that we're not alone, we have to then deal with the fact that, okay, we're not alone, but more importantly, the thing that we're not alone with is potentially better than us. Is more advanced than us, and if it wanted to, could get rid of us or you know, ultimately do whatever it wants.
I was about to say, if we're pigs in the slaughterhouse, they had a lot of pigs that they wasted by just letting them die by killing each other. I mean, so it doesn't make sense to me, the idea that they would that's would be an agenda.
I'm using the sort of the slaughterhouse metaphor, maybe sort of sloppily, but the idea is that the pigs sort of don't know where they are, and
yeah.
You know, I think the argument that, or the question sort of poses the same idea, right? The pigs are naive to their reality. They're naive to the fact that they're in the slaughterhouse. So for us, if there is an extraterrestrial presence and we're naive to it, it's much easier to be naive and simply go about our daily lives, to walk around the slaughterhouse without knowing anything, than it is to have the realization that, you know, that gate when it opens leads to something potentially terrible.
Well, I would say, I guess I was taking it too literally. I was.
Yeah, don't take it literally. Sorry.
I'm sorry about that. I was thinking of literal.
Yeah, no, I don't mean the aliens are here to slaughter us. What I mean is more so the pigs have to be unaware that they're in a slaughterhouse, right?
Or that they're being exploited in some way. And I just don't, I have to go back to wondering, you know, these mechanisms of exploitation that some of the theorists, people who create whatever hypothesis to explain the reality that they don't understand. And one it always comes up is like, well, I'm looking at it right over here, Jim Mars, Alien Agenda. What's the agenda? I mean, I read the book. I just wonder what could they possibly need from us, or could they have not gotten from us already?
Right.
It's just
sure. Like you say, it's a specific hypothesis. And I think we have to kind of, you know, be cognizant of that. It's just a hypothesis. We have obviously no evidence really that would sort of move society totally towards believing the hypothesis that sort of aliens are here or whatever, right? We can sort of debate, you know, the evidence, and we can talk about it. But you're not going to convince everyone, because the evidence just isn't good enough, or it's not sort of present enough that I would sort of alter my life to believe in it. But I also think that we kind of like, you know, thinking about our own demise, right? And when you sort of think about some of these books that have come out, or theories that exist in regards to sort of the evil alien agenda, you know, we kind of dig that, right? Like, there's a reason why we like, where we really like watching end of the world movies, and why we really like watching alien invasion movies, right? We as humans sort of have a bit of a death drive, I think. We sort of like thinking about our own death as a species. You know, that's why they're so popular. I mean, there's a reason why end-of-the-world movies keep coming out all the time, and why alien invasion movies keep coming out all the time. We find it fascinating.
At the end of the movie, we usually win. Independence Day, War of the Worlds, even if it isn't something that we had control over in War of the Worlds, they caught a cold. I was thinking, as you were talking about Alien Invasion, the Twilight Zone episode, To Serve Man, which was aired in 1962. And the star, one of the stars playing an alien, was Richard Kiel, best known in the movies as Jaws.
Right. Yeah, okay. Yeah. From Bond, right.
Bond. James Bond.
And To Serve Man, is that the one where they eat us?
That's what it means.
Yeah.
They make it seem as if they're here to show us some great thing.
Yeah.
And therefore we go to their planet not knowing that we're going to be their food.
I mean, there's other stories that are told in video games, and like Mass Effect, for instance, where there's this super intelligent alien, it's basically an AI that harvests human beings over millennia in our galaxy, and we have to fight against them, and they're called the Reapers, and the thing is that we've explored a lot of themes in movies, but I think some of the most compelling and probably the most disturbing themes have been explored in video games. It's really fascinating, the idea that human beings are basically there to create something that comes back and devours them, but is a machine that human beings create. But then the machine is like the next stage in development or evolution from the human being. Because a human being is a biological machine, in essence. I mean, and then it creates something that is able to replicate itself on a much more massive scale. That's something that I've always been fascinated with. I don't know why I brought that up, Gene.
Well, really, I think this way I let you just sit there and hang yourself. No, it's okay to bring things up like that. You know, we have the right to certainly theorize about what aliens might be, what their motives might be, and because they're advanced doesn't mean they necessarily have to be peaceful. They may not care about us at all. They may have motives that we can't even understand, because they are, of course, alien. Or they could have some kind of evil purpose, but it's a lot more efficient to take us over quietly with deception than to destroy us, which is the common theme in the sci-fi movie. The aliens come here and they wage destruction on us. But if they simply pull some kind of stunt so we think they're friendly, it's a lot better.
I guess I don't see it. Maybe I'm thinking that it's easier to just push the humans out of the way and get to what you need. I mean, unless the human beings are what you want. I mean,
but you have to understand here, we're thinking in human terms, you know, let's sure. get over with. Absolutely. But if you want to take us over for whatever reason without destroying the planet in the process. MJ Banias, thank you so much for joining us. Can you tell our listeners if they want to know more of what you do, that great blog of yours, where do they go?
Sure. You can find my writing at www.terraobscura.net. I also write for Mysterious Universe, and you can find my work in UFOs Reframing the Debate. As well, I am currently in the process of writing a book, which hopefully will be published sort of next year-ish, so please stay tuned for that. And I'm on all the social medias at MJ Banias. So if you are a social media person, you can find me on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, at MJ Banias.
By the way, speaking of Twitter, there's a word from Twitter, change your password. Yes, check your password and change your Twitter password. We are the Paracast on Twitter. You can also check us out on Facebook, where we have two official Paracast fan clubs, the group and the community. We also have Paracast Plus. Go to plus.theparacast.com, plus.theparacast.com, where you get a version of this show free of the network ads. Speaking of ads that I've been pushing for all this show, we also give you the After the Paracast podcast, where you never know what's going to happen next, and more goodies. Prices start just $1.49 a week. Go to plus.theparacast.com. MJ Banias, thank you for joining us on the Paracast.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you very much, gentlemen.
The Paracast, featuring Gene Steinberg and Christopher O'Brien, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in The Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Fellow Patriots, my name is Todd Savage, founder of BlackRifleRealEstate.com. Like you, I was a prisoner of the alt-left sanctuary state, until one day I chose to lead my family to freedom. Today we live on a sustainable 20-acre homestead where we shoot, hunt, garden, and homeschool our children without the tyranny of the nanny state looking over us. If you're ready to flee the city to the freedom of Idaho or Montana, our Black Rifle Real Estate team is here to help. Go to BlackRifleRealEstate.com. That's BlackRifleRealEstate.com.
This is Fred.
Hi, I'm Fred.
Fred's a repeater.
I tend to repeat.
Fred has a business.
I do have a business.
And a problem. Fred repeats the same tired advertising over and over, and now it doesn't work.
Over and over.
But Fred is about to see a vision.
I'm seeing a vision.
Advertising on the Genesis Communications Network is the smart way for Fred to reach his potential customers with the most affordable national advertising rates, period. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just email advertise@GCNlive.com.